What an incredible word that Jesus gives us here. The first observation I have for you, I want to go to my notes because I got some good notes today. They're in here somewhere. Here they are, if I remember where they are. Notice the first thing Jesus declares is, I am the vine. Yes. This is the seventh I am declaration of Jesus in the Gospel of John. The I am declarations are, I am the bread of life. Amen. I am the light of the world. Amen. I am the door. Oh, yes. I am the good shepherd. Hallelujah. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. I am the true vine. Seven times in the Gospel of John, Jesus declares the ultimate statement concerning his Godhead by saying, I am. It echoes all the way back to Moses when Moses says, God, who shall I say sent me? Tell them, I am. That was it. That's all there had to be. Amen. I am. Jesus was continuing to try to explain to his disciples who he was, what it was all about. And they're getting glimpses of it, but they're still not grasping the whole thing. Why the analogy of the vine? Well, one of the reference materials said it would be very common as you're walking through the streets of Jerusalem that you would walk by the temple. The temple had golden doors that were engraved with vines because the children of Israel, one of their signs and symbols were the great vine, showing that they were connected to God. And as they were walking by, it is speculated that Jesus says, I am the vine. Amen. Not this stuff engraved over here. I am the true vine. It was pretty neat, I thought, to think of it that way. So as Jesus began to lay this out, I am the true vine. Now, I had this message all prepared because I was ready to dig into the meat of this. Because the next verse says, my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. It looks like we can't win for losing in this one. We're either going to get cut off or we're going to get chopped on, but either way, there's going to be some cutting going on. And I started researching all this, you know. How does a farmer, gardener or a farmer, how do they prune? What is the process? And I learned all kinds of things. I even did research on how many pruning tools there are. And there's all kinds of pruning tools. I mean, Walmart and Lowe's and Home Depot, they probably got whole aisles of pruning. Anything from little snippers this big to big old whackers like this, you know, whack and whack. And all I know is sometimes I feel like I'm being cut or pruned and they got the big ones going on because it hurts. I don't know about y'all. And then I started saying, okay, well, when is the best time for a gardener to prune? When does he do it? Guess when he does it? He does it in the winter time when there's no new growth. So here I am, a vine with no new growth, and somebody's cutting on me and hacking on me. And it's like I ain't got no more to give. I had that all prepared for y'all. But I don't think that's what the scripture is talking about. I've heard it preached before that way, and it makes a good sermon. I had a good one for you till 4 o'clock this morning. Can ask my wife. I was giving her the lowdown coming back the other night. We were in the car. I always like to give her a little mini version so I can see, you know, how's it going to play? You know, what you think, honey? And, you know, she'll give me the thumbs up or the thumbs down. And you might want to soften that just a little bit, Scott. You know, I get good advice. But she wow, Scott, that's good. Because, you know, when you're the branch, Do you really know if you're being cut off or if you're being pruned?
Amen.
Do you really know which one's happening?
Amen.
But the thing that troubled me about this scripture that I just couldn't get away from is if we go down a few more verses, it says, no branch can bear fruit by itself.
Amen.
It must remain in the vine.
Amen.
Okay? So now we've got a branch that has to remain in the vine. But then he says, if you do not remain in me,
Amen.
You are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned.
Amen.
There's a distinction now. Now we're talking about three kinds of branches.
Alrighty.
We're talking about branches that get cut off. We're talking about branches that get pruned.
Amen.
And we're talking about branches that wither and die and get cast into the fire.
Amen.
It's not just two branches. We're talking about three branches.
Alrighty.
There's a distinction here. Because branch one that's getting cut off and branch two that's getting pruned are said to be in the vine.
Amen.
And Jesus says, I am the vine.
Hallelujah.
So therefore, if I'm that branch, whether I'm getting cut off or pruned, I'm still in Jesus.
Amen.
It's the ones that don't remain in Jesus
Amen.
That are laying on the ground, withering and dying and get thrown into the fire. I don't know about you, but this brought me great hope.
Oh, yes, it did.
Because sometimes, again, I don't know if I'm getting pruned or cut off, but either way it hurts.
Amen. Yes,
it it's not a pleasant process.
No, it's not.
But yet it's all meant for growth.
Amen.
So I dug a little deeper.
Go ahead.
The word for cut off was translated from the original Greek. There's four meanings to the word, and the first three meanings mean to be lifted up, elevated, or raised up. The word is, watch Father Looker's face, Iro. It's Iro in the Greek. No, it is. Trust me. It is. It is. It's Iro in the Greek. And it means to be elevated, to be lifted up, or to be raised up. And the fourth and final meaning is to be cut off. So, okay. Now I'm getting a little clearer picture. Okay. So the translators decided to translate this to be cut off, but they could have easily translated it to say, he raises up every branch in me. He lifts up every branch in me. He pulls up every branch in me. Because this is what I couldn't get away from. The branch we're talking about getting cut off is in him. I just could not get away from that. I couldn't reconcile that with my understanding of a loving God. And if I'm in Christ, how am I going to get cut out?
All right, now.
I just couldn't figure it out. It makes a little more sense. If I'm in Christ and I'm not bearing fruit, he's going to elevate me.
Amen.
He's going to lift me up. He's going to stand me up. Well, I said, okay, that sounds pretty good. Now let me do a little research on what a gardener does. In a vineyard. Well, the way the gardener takes care of a vineyard is he goes through the vineyard and they take a lot of water. Grapes take a lot of water. Need a lot of water. Make a lot of mud. The branches get a little heavy down at the bottom.
Oh, yes.
And they'll lay down in the mud. And they get covered over by the mud. And a true vine dresser will walk through and lovingly pull the branches that are mired in the mud and pull them up, clean them off,
Hallelujah.
And get them back in right standing
Amen.
So they can bear some fruit.
Hallelujah.
Whoa! Now we're talking, God. Now we're talking. He's not going to cut us off. He's going to lift us up. He's going to help us. He's going to elevate us. The next word is prune. Well, prune has two meanings. The second meaning is the one that you and I are used to. The clipping off of things to increase new growth. But the first meaning, you ready? Get ready. The Greek word here is kaithairo.
Okay.
I'm going to repeat that. Kaithairo. Make sure you heard it. And the main meaning of that is to clean and to cleanse. Hey, don't argue with me. I got that guy on Strong's Concordance that repeats the word kaithairo. Repeats it to you twice, and then I write it down. How do I write it down, Father Lon? Phonetically.
We had to correct him.
Well, he does it phonetically. I do it phonically. But anyway, it sounds reasonable to me. So pruning is a cleaning process. So now in light of this understanding of the words that were used, God walks through his garden. Jesus being the vine, we are the branches, those that are in Jesus. If our fruit is lacking and we're not able to produce, God is going to elevate us. He is going to lift us up. He is going to raise us up. And then he's going to clean us up so we can bear fruit. I find great peace in knowing that. I find great peace in knowing that just because I'm not bearing fruit today doesn't mean that God has cut me off and thrown me into the fire. Because I'm still in the vine. I'm still in the vine. So the next question I come up with is, well, how do I know I'm bearing fruit? How do I know how my fruit bearing is going? And why is it fruit? Why is the focus on fruit? Well, I think the focus is on fruit for a few reasons. Ooh, say that fast. Fruit for a few reasons. Second page already. Wow. Woo! He's making time. A fruit is a product of plant growth. It is generally the edible. Hear that word? It's the edible reproductive body of a seed plant. It's the edible reproductive body of a seed plant. Let me break this down for you. Fruit bears the seed of the vine so it can be planted again and grow more vines. Apples, it goes on and on. Apples bear their seeds so you can enjoy the fruit. But then you take the seeds, plant, you get more apples. We bear the seed of Christ. We are in the vine.
Amen.
And therefore, we are to reproduce the seed that is in us.
Amen.
So let's take an inventory. How are we doing? How am I doing? Yeah. Some days better than others. Some days I really need to be elevated, lifted up, raised up, and scrubbed off. And some days I do need some shears taken to me, big and little. We do need to cut off some things that are not pleasing to God or do not reconcile the fact that I am in that vine. But what kind of fruit is Jesus talking about? Especially in this scripture. The last verse, verse 8. This is to my Father's glory. To glorify God, not glorify you. Not glorify me. Not glorify my ministry. Not glorify the power of the Spirit that resides in me. To glorify God is what this is all about. That you bear much fruit. We need to bear much fruit. Not a little bit of fruit. Not a sprinkle, not a little sprig here and there. Not one apple. We need a whole bushel of apples. Showing yourselves to be my disciples. We are to bear fruit that glorifies God, showing the world that we are His disciples. Well, that reminds me of another scripture I've heard before. They will know you are Christians by... Oh. Sounds like that's the fruit I'm supposed to be bearing. Is love. Well, let's go to that chapter. Let's go to that... We love to quote it. I read it with new eyes. Ephesians chapter 5. I want to show you something. Maybe some of y'all already got it, the biblical scholars over here, and some of you long-term believers who are bearing fruit every day and just bringing in the harvest, bringing in the harvest. Maybe you've already had this truth, but this was new to me. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. I have always read that the fruit of the Spirit is all of this. That's the way I read it. Till I read it again. Wouldn't it say, if it was all of those things, would it not be grammatically correct? I get stuck on some words like cinnamon, cinnamon. Wouldn't it say, but the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, etc.? If they were all fruits? Or is it saying by chance that the fruit of the Spirit is love, and love is defined by joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? Perhaps is it saying that? That the ultimate fruit that we are to bear is love. And we will know love is present by our joy, by our peace, by our goodness, by our kindness. These are the things that we will know that we are bearing fruit with. Gentleness and self-control. I do a lot of driving, especially on the interstates, I-295, I-95. It's hard to be gentle, the way people drive out there. It's hard to be gentle. What's coming out of me? What fruit is coming out on me? What fruit is coming out of you? How do we get this? It's real easy. And it's found, I think, in another section of Ephesians that really is addressing husbands and wives. We've all heard them read at weddings. But there's a little pearl stuck in the middle of that. It says, husband loves your wife just as Christ loved the church. Now, we've all heard that, but listen to how Christ loved the church. He gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. How do we bear more fruit of love? Amen, sister. Through the word. Washing ourselves in the word of God. Jesus is the word of God. To immerse ourselves in Jesus is to immerse ourselves in the word of God. To cling tight to the vine. To hold tight to the foot of the cross is washing ourselves with the presence of God. Amen. It's washing ourselves with the Word of God. Amen. Cindy and I were listening to just a little 3-minute teaching on the way in. She gets emails. What is it? Daughters of the King? Yeah, Daughters of the King. She finds a lot of encouragement in it. She was playing one for me today as we were coming into church. And the lady was just encouraging the listeners. Look it. In this world, there's going to be trials and tribulations. You're going to run into problems. Amen. There are 3 stages of life, she said. There are stages when you come out of a storm. There are stages when you're in a storm. Amen. And there's a stage when you're preparing for a storm. But a storm is involved in all of them in this life.
Amen.
Most of us, myself included, tend to be drawn to my knees in the midst of a storm. I cling to the cross in the midst of the storm. I immerse myself in the Word of God, looking for hope, looking for faith, looking for answers, crying out to God, I'm in the midst of a storm, oh help me. What if I immersed myself in the Word pre-storm? What if I immerse myself in the Word when I come out of a storm?
Amen.
What if? What would that look like in my life? Maybe it would look like no difference from pre to storm to coming out of the storm because the Word has washed me that I'm walking whether I'm abounding or abasing. Amen. Whether it's a mountaintop or a valley, my faith in my God is not shaken.
Amen. That's it.
Because I have made it a discipline. I have made it a habit to immerse myself in His Word. I have made it a habit to be attached to that vine and bear fruit.
Amen.
What if? What if you took 50 people that were that way? What if? What would happen to the city of Jacksonville? If you had just 50 people walking in the love of God, truly walking in the love of God, bearing the love of God fruit everywhere they went to the glory of God, not to their own glory, but to the glory of God. What if? We are those people. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.